Today's scripture reading will be found in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Today's scripture reading will be found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And it reads, and it says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." The second Bible verse that will be found today is found in Isaiah chapter 41, verses 10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Good morning. First, let me begin by saying thank you, Elena, for that song. You know, all week I've been praying about what to speak about, and Elena didn't know what to choose to sing, but God chose that song. And whatever I'm speaking about today, God chose it. Satan has a way of trying to throw a wrench into things, but God has a bigger plan, right? I've been sick all week. I've lost my voice, and but I kept praying that even if I lost my voice completely, I just prayed, "Give me my voice for that one moment, so I can speak, and then you can take it back, take it away." But I'm here this morning, even though I locked myself out of the house, had no car keys, no house keys, and I still got here because, again, God has a bigger plan. Will you pray with me, please, this morning? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Sabbath day. Thank you for the sunshine and the warm weather. And I thank you most of all for the love that you show us, for always showing a way and making and having a bigger plan and always rescuing us right when we need you. I pray, Lord, that you are with me. Help me get through with my voice. But let the message that is spoken of this morning touch the hearts of all who are here. May we be inspired and reminded that your love overcomes everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to say that this is the first time I'm preaching. Even though I come up here and I sing, you guys don't know, but I am constantly shaking. So I am very, very nervous. I just pray for your patience, as this is the very first time that I'm doing this. One of my favorite Bible stories when I was growing up was the story of Job. I was always fascinated about how a man could be so dedicated and faithful to God, how he was blessed with family, with wealth, with friends, and how he overcame all the things that Satan brought his way and still remained faithful to God. And I used to think that was, you know, a story only in Bible times, right? You know, I didn't really understand when I was younger how very true that is for so many of us every single day in our time now. It's so true that even for us, life seems to be going well. We have a good job. We have great family who support us, right? A network of friends that we think we can rely on. And we think things are great, right? Smooth sailing from here. But then comes Satan, just like he did with the story of Job. Steps in to tempt us and trip us up on our path of happiness. And like Job, Satan will take away all that he can, strip us of all that is good, convinced we too will try to turn us away from God. And what's sad is that sometimes Satan is right. Sometimes we do turn away from God. He preys on our insecurities and our weaknesses, leaving us so vulnerable that we believe his lies and forget the promises that God has given to us. I was born a Seventh-day Adventist. My mom raised us, myself and my sister, in the Seventh-day Adventist church. And by all accounts, we were a happy family. We attended church faithfully. We sang in the choir. We were members of the Pathfinder Club. We participated in church activities and church socials. We were part of the 13th Sabbath, and we knew every memory verse, and we sang all the little church songs. And by all accounts, we appeared to be faithful children of God who were happy to learn and share our gifts with those around us. But Satan came along with his hate and deceit, and things changed, at least for me. High school is a tough time for many people, for many students, and I was no exception. And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my testimony. So if I got a little emotional, please forgive me. For the first time in high school, I struggled with my identity, how I fit into the world around me, and I began to question my worth. My insecurities grew, and I began to doubt the person that God had made me to be. And those insecurities led to poor choices. Choices that led me to shame, guilt, and self-hate. I entered into relationships with guys who saw my weaknesses and exploited them. Who made promises to love me, but only to then turn around and use me, abuse me, and fill my head with lies that I was worthless. And my self-hate had gotten so bad at one point that I wanted to die. I lost my desire to live, believing that the world would be better off without me. And so I set out to find a way to end my life. My mom doesn't know this, but I in the area that I grew up in, there were a lot of gangs. And because I went to school with a lot of them, I knew a lot of people. And so I figured, well, they have the means to end a life. Maybe I should go to them. And so I tried getting a gun so I could end my life. But no one would give me one. They would start questioning me, why do you want this? You're not this kind of person. What is wrong with you? No way, we're not doing that. And I would just tell them, don't worry about it. It's just something I need to take care of. And they would just look at me and say, no. This is our world, and you don't need to be a part of that. I know now that God had his hand in that. But I switched tactics, and I decided I would take pills. And one day, when I was home alone, and I knew I would be home alone all day, I went into the bathroom, loathing myself, filled with this self-hate and disgust at all the bad decisions I had made. And I drank an entire bottle of pain medication. I don't remember a lot. But I know that God stepped in at that moment also, because I passed out on the bathroom floor, and several hours later, I woke up, disappointed that I was still alive. I spent my entire high school years in a state of depression, with no self-esteem, continuing walking a path of shame and self-hate, continued also as a result of the poor choices that I was making. I believed Satan's lies, that no one wanted me, that no one loved me, that I was not worth loving, and that I didn't deserve anything good. I believed it because the men in my life had shown me that I wasn't good enough to be with. I believed it because the people around me didn't see the pain, didn't reach out to question why I was making these decisions. Instead, I was being judged. And not once was I offered a helping hand, an opportunity to talk about what was going on, and not once, even within my church, did someone show me the love that God has for me. I believed that I wasn't worth, that it wasn't worth living because my own relationship with my mother and my sister was now strained as a result of some of my poor choices and my rebellious behavior, and I was left feeling alone and unsupported. And there was no one else to blame for this but myself. And so all that confusion and all that depression, I turned on myself. And this played over and over in my head for many years. See, unlike Job, who with every one of Satan's blows, he prayed and drew nearer to God, I felt myself drifting farther and farther away from God. I didn't turn to him. Instead, I felt, I'm so far away already. What's the point? And I turned farther and farther away from the person that I used to be and the person that God made me to be. And after high school, things didn't get better. My poor mom would try to set rules and boundaries, hoping that I would comply and things would get better. But they only fueled my rebellious behavior and pushed me further into a world of partying, a world of nightclubs with its drugs and alcohol. And even though I didn't get caught up in those drugs and alcohol, I did try them. But what kept me there, what kept me going there and feeling like this was great and this was the lifestyle I wanted, was the false sense of freedom. The fake friends who would go out dancing with me, dance the night away, stay up all night eating, meeting guys. What kept me there was the false sense of confidence. You know, feeling like I was desired, like people really liked me, that I was pretty. But not really feeling that I was where I was meant to be. Still feeling empty, still feeling this hole inside of me. And like all things in a world and a lifestyle of sin, the fun times had to come to an end at some point. And God stepped in, and I suddenly became aware of the downward spiral that was leading me to a place where I might never leave. And someday I will talk about that specific moment or time in my life. But I want to point out that sometimes we feel so drifted away from God. And we do believe the lie that God can't love us if we've gone so far off track, that we forget the promises that he made to forgive us and to love us. You see, even when we are at our lowest, when we think we are so far away from God that he's forgotten us, God makes a way to bring us back. There is no depression, no self-hate, no poor choice so great that God can't find us. There is nothing deeper or stronger than the love that God has for us. I had strayed so far off the path that God had set for me that I'd forgotten the promises and believed Satan's lies. And I reached a point in my life where my eyes were opened to see the reality And like Job in chapter 42, verse 5, I too have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. I reached a point where all that stuff that I remembered growing up was coming back to me, and I could see God showing me a way out. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 16:33. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It took losing everything to bring me back to the God who had never left my side, who was always just a prayer away. And when we are in a difficult place, we must realize that God placed us there or allowed us to be there for a reason. And if God let us in, he will also lead us out. In all of my self-destructing behavior, in all of my depression and self-hate, I forgot this very important promise. You see, Satan wants us to believe that when we let God into our lives, that his blessings are always going to be great and joyous and bring us prosperity. But John 16:33 very clearly says that the world we live in can't guarantee those things. We will have pain. We will struggle. We will have loss and depression or addiction. But God promised that because he overcame the world, all we need is to come to him and proclaim his glory, and he will set us free from all those things. He has promised never to leave us or forsake us. He will never forget us. He will never abandon us, because his love never ceases and his care never dims. There are so many people here in this church and the world around us that are feeling what I felt. It is so important for us to reach out and let them know that those lies are not what God has in store for us. That God has so much more, that we can be forgiven no matter what we've done. God forgives us. God can give us a renewed strength, a renewed sense of purpose. And I stand before you as a living testimony of that. I am not the same person that I was back then. I'm not even the same person that I was last month or last week. And that is only because I pray every single day that God helps me to make better choices, that he gives me wisdom, that he be with me in every decision that I make, because I never want to be in that place again. I do not want control to be given to Satan. I want God to take control of my life and to lead me where he needs me to be. One of those places I know is the job that I work in. I work with victims of domestic violence, and it is by no mistake or coincidence that that's the work that I do today. I know that. I know that God put me there for a reason. I know that God is using my personal experience as a testimony. Even though I don't share my personal experiences, I understand where people are coming from when I see them every single day. And I ask God every single day to give me the right words to provide some sort of peace or healing to those victims. And again, it is no coincidence that that is the work that I'm doing today, because that work is bringing myself and that person some sense of healing and some sense of peace and some sense of purpose in this world of chaos and addiction and, you know, hate and abuse. It's not easy. And being a Christian is not easy. You know, I get questioned all the time about what I believe in. And I share my belief and my faith happily with anyone who asks me. And I've had some people say, you know, you're ridiculous, or that's so stupid. What's the point? Look at what's going on around us. If God really existed, that wouldn't be happening. And I share with them my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses, which says that the Bible clearly says that there will be tribulation. There will be challenges. But because God has overcome the world, I can claim the promise that I too can overcome these challenges if I have faith. Romans 8, verse 35 was one of those promises I had also forgotten. It says that who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And verse 38 says, neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believed that I had been separated from God, but God reminded me that all those things cannot separate me from Him because He loves me. Because He sent Jesus to die on that cross for me and for you. I don't know what challenges you are all facing, because I know we all have them. I don't know what lies God, Satan is trying to convince you of, but know this. God made you to be beautiful. God made you with purpose. God made you to be a living testimony to the world around you. And God will never, ever, ever leave our side. All we need to do is have faith and pray and ask for forgiveness, and He will do it. And when I say that I am a living testimony of that, I say that with confidence and conviction because I am a new person. And that only comes from God. And I hope and I pray that all of you feel that sense of love from God each and every day. And if you don't, reach out. We are here, we're supposed to be here to help each other, to show love to one another. That was one of the things God said, Jesus said to His disciples, that one of the greatest commandments, right? That we show love for one another. The reason He did that is because sometimes the poor choices that we make out in the world make us feel alone. And they make us feel separated from a community that is meant to be loving and forgiving. And so it is our job to reach out to those who need us and remind them that they are not alone. And remind them of the promises that God has made so that they too can find some peace. They too can find forgiveness and hope. And they too can share in an everlasting life. I want to thank you this morning for sharing your time with me, for allowing me to share a part of me that I've never spoken about, that still pains me sometimes. But even though it pains me, I can smile, I can laugh, and I can share it with joy because I know that I'm forgiven.
I came up because one day when she wasn't going to church, she said to me, "Don't worry, Mom. I know you pray every single day for me. And I know the Bible says, teach your child in the path that they will come back to church." So she said, "Don't worry, I'm going to come back."